Tom Plum, President and Chief Investment Officer at the Plum Funds, is here. We're talking stocks, and this is the Money Life Market Call. Welcome to the Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about the way they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly on the market, and how they put it all together. And joining me today, Tom Plum. He's President and Chief Investment Officer at the Plum Funds. That's Plum Balance, PLBBX, and Plum Equity, PLBEX. Learn more at Plum, that's Plum with a B, like plumbing, P-L-U-M-B, plumfunds.com. And I pointed out that Tom and I actually spoke a day ago, and this interview should have been on yesterday's show. And I screwed something up, and when we finished... Yeah, Tom's audio was gone. He has very graciously agreed to come back and do this all again with me, and it's worth it. And by the way, I'll just point out, my excitement at talking to him is always genuine, because it's always great to say, Tom Plum, thanks so much for coming to Money Life, especially twice now, even though my audience is it's just this one time that they're hearing.
Well, it's great to be here, Chuck. I'm sorry that it didn't work out yesterday, but hopefully we'll have a good conversation today.
I absolutely am certain that we will. So let's jump into it, because we always start with methodology. And you've got something that you specifically want to see in the stocks that you are buying. So let's talk about it. What is it that you are looking for? What has to be present for you to be going, this is a buy to me?
Well, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but we are looking for companies that are growth companies. We believe that when you look at the largest companies in the S&P 500, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, NVIDIA, Google, these companies all got there by having developing disruptive growth profiles, creating markets that really didn't exist before they came and took them on. They execute their business plans. They generate cash. Those are some of our largest holdings in the Plum Funds. And what we are endeavoring to do is to try to find those companies that maybe are earlier on that growth stage, but are also developing some type of disruptive technology that looks like it's going to have legs for a long time.
Help us understand, when you're seeing something and you see disruptive technology, I mean, you know, there are a number of things that were disruptive technologies or seen as disruptive technologies. If you're old, you look at things like 8-track tapes. But if you're younger, you look at things like CDs and compact discs, which these days you don't really need anymore. And if you're more current, you could be going to things like Blackberries and some of those things that were supposed to be out there that weren't. I mean, even during the computer revolution, no one recognized that Microsoft was going to be the big winner. I should point out, I own Microsoft stock. Back in the early days, it was going to be Wang Labs and Prime Computer, and they're all gone. So how do you recognize and determine what is truly a disruptive technology?
Well, you know, in part the markets tell you, because you can look at the profit margins that the market allows them to have, and you can see that these companies are gaining market share. You don't have to be the first one to find them. You don't have to have been the person who found Apple when it came public. You've made a lot of money on Apple if you saw what they were doing and how they were executing. So you look for companies that have developed their business plan, executing on it, and then when you start to see that they have some real secular trends behind them, you know, you were talking about the trends today, but, you know, today the big thing is artificial intelligence. And, you know, we think that is going to have a lot of legs, and it's going to take a lot of companies into higher profit margins, higher growth businesses.
So let's talk about an exemplar. What's a company or two that stand out to you as the kind of business that has that disruptive technology that you want in the portfolio?
Well, you know, we talked about the ones that are the largest holdings there, but look at some of these other ones. If you think about an Adobe, for example, it's trading at 25 times earnings, less than it has averaged over the last 10 years. And they've got double-digit revenue growth and mid-teens profit growth. We think that they're consistently executing with the digital economy and how we do business back and forth. You know, everyone knows about PDFs, but you also know that Adobe is so dynamic in the the cinema business and in using any type of document transfers. And that's how we do business nowadays. We have documents from I originate in Madison, Wisconsin, and somebody else signs it in Boston, Massachusetts. So Adobe is a company that's continued to grow and put that there. And it's a company that got punished when the tech stocks all took their nosedive last year, and it's starting to show some recovery now that we think is going to have legs going forward. But, you know, you think about another company like Intuitive Surgical, a company that created the robotic surgery business with their Da Vinci model. If you or I as a male are going to go have surgery on prostate, the first question we'll ask our doctor is, are we eligible for the robotic surgery? Because it's less invasive and it's less painful and we're happy with the recovery. This is a company that didn't have a market before they created it. The pandemic put some delay on it, and because of hospitals not spending money and only spending money on COVID for a while. But we're starting to see that recovery right now, and the stock is still $50 below where it was at the end of December 21. We think we've got mid-teens revenue growth translating into earnings growth. Again, a company that didn't have a market before they created it.
You know, we talked about you owning and running a balance fund, Plum Balance Fund. How has the change in inflation and interest rates and what it's done to the fixed income market, but also the prospect of recession, what has that done in terms of how you want to be balanced in this market and what you're finding in terms of disruptive technologies and whether they're worth taking a chance on? Does it change the picture at all?
Well, as you mentioned, we run a balance fund, and that means that we typically have about 30% plus in fixed income. What we've done over the last few years is we decided that with interest rates as low as they were, we didn't want to take what we call interest rate risk. So we've owned a lot of variable rate securities, and those rates that we continue to receive from them have gone up as the Fed's policy has been pushing up interest rates. We think that that's probably still a spot to be in until, you know, as the old cliche is that you don't fight the Fed until the Fed actually gives some indication, not speculation, that they're actually going to slow down or reduce interest rates. Until that time, we're very happy participating in these vehicles that have these short-term interest rate connectivity that's a very high current yield. And we think that balance investing, which really got hit last year because it was the worst year in fixed income markets in our memory, but it's back to doing what it's supposed to do. It's providing you a rate of return income, and it's moderating the volatility of the stock portfolio, which is the primary reason why we have a balanced fund. We want our fixed income not to amplify the volatility of the stock market, because we know that growth stocks can bounce around quite a bit.
Once you've found the right disruptive technology and the right situation to buy, the growth potential there, what actually makes you sell?
Sell is always a challenge, and no matter who, they always say that we have our sell discipline as this or that. Typically, once we get over 5% of our equity exposure in one stock, we start to monitor it very closely for cutting it back, even if we're very comfortable with the fundamentals. We just think that as a risk parameter, you have to be willing to be diversified. And for us, that means that once we're at 6, 7%, that would be the maximum we would have a company, and we would be looking at opportunities to cut back on it. The other part is when you actually see that you've misjudged what the growth opportunities are. As you said, back in the early 80s, if you would have told me that everybody in the world was going to have their own personal computer, we would have bought Gateway, Wang, Packard Bell, companies that all disappeared because they weren't able to execute and maintain and grow market share and become number one. So you want to make sure that you're owning companies that the premise that you had is still valid, and not that you're going to be caught into the rationalization of Well, I think they'll come back because they're down from where they were or something like that. So we tend to look at the fundamentals first, and then as we build our portfolio, it looks like when you take a look at it in aggregate, you know, there were growth managers, and that's because the companies that we concentrate on are still winning in the marketplace.
So we've talked about a couple of opportunities, the biggest ones, et cetera. In a little bit of time before we get to quick and dirty, what's maybe a smaller cap, lesser known company that stands out to you as this kind of disruptive opportunity that is in the portfolio?
It's a great question, Chuck. And looking for the next ones that are out there, one of them is a company called Toast. Toast is a company that provides all the information necessary for running a restaurant and doing it efficiently and making the employees more productive and using technology as it should be done in the restaurant industry. So when we talk about this company, when you see at LaGuardia Airport, for example, after all that great remodeling and you decide you want to go to a restaurant, there's an iPad on each table. And what you order, that's through Toast. So what you get is a point of sale system, you get an execution system, order management system, and it allows your serving staff to concentrate on the important things, which is making sure that your customers are having a good experience, not running back and forth trying to see if an order's ready. So this company, small little company, but it's revenue run rate right now is about five times what it was in 2019. The stock in anticipation of this growth was at $60 back in 2018, and you can buy it for $21 today as they execute on their business plan. And it looks like they're going to continue to have growth rates in excess of 30% for the foreseeable future. And we think that is a great opportunity to own this stock today.
That's Toast, T-O-S-T. Now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some stocks my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
This calls for immediate discussion.
Well, not only immediate discussion, but fast discussion, because we've gotten to our lightning round, what we call quick and dirty, with Tom Plum, President and Chief Investment Officer at the Plum Funds. Plum Balance, PLBBX, Plum Equity, PLBEX. And you know how quick and dirty works, so we're going to jump straight in, starting with a request we got from Troy in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, who wants to know about Oshkosh Corp, ticker OSK.
Well, Oshkosh Corp is close to my heart because it's an Oshkosh, Wisconsin company, and I'm based in Madison, Wisconsin. A company is manufactures vehicles basically for the Defense Department, for the municipal departments in fire and waste management systems, the trucks that are out there. They recently did not get a renewal on a defense contract, and I think that put a little pressure on their stock, but it was due to their discipline on maintaining the margins that they need in that area. It looks to us like at 12 times earnings, the stock is pretty cheap, and I think it's going to actually do pretty well this year.
So that's a buy on Oshkosh, ticker OSK.
Let's make some money.
John in Seattle wants to know about Mercado Libre, MELI.
Mercado is a holding of the Plum Funds, and I'll tell you why. It's because this company has revenue growth of almost 25% a year. Its earnings are then now growing at about 80%. We call it the Amazon of the Latin America world. It's significant in Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, all those areas. Their largest big box retailer in Brazil just filed for bankruptcy in January, and they've continued to take advantage. Their PAYGO system is allowing unbanked people to deal with electronic transfer of funds for the first time in their history. We like this company a lot.
Sounds like the opportunity of a lifetime.
That's a buy on Mercado Libre, MELI. Tony in Henderson, Nevada wants to know about Johnson & Johnson. It's JNJ, and by the way, it's in my portfolio.
J&J is, you know, obviously a great company over time. It's got a wonderful history. It's one of the longest consecutive increasing of its dividends. The dividend yield's over 3% right now. It's trading about 15 times earnings. They have their spin off. But with the problems that they have due to the talc settlements and overhang and the fact that that's going to keep their earnings from growing at all probably for the next 3 years, I would say that the dividend is safe. I think it's a good quality company, but I think you'd be much better off moving to a company that offers more growth in the pharmaceutical industry.
So it's hold it if you got it and you want to, but that's at best a hold, maybe even a soft sell on J&J, Johnson & Johnson.
No money changes hands today.
Lance in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania wants to know about something else in my portfolio, and also presumably in his. It's Qualcomm, QCOM.
Well, Qualcomm, you know, we think that Qualcomm is a good company. It's got a good dividend. The yield is there. But tell you the truth, it's not doing well in the marketplace. Apple announced that they've got the new contracts with Broadcom just recently, and they're extending that. We think that you need to own chip companies, but you need to be in the areas where the growth is. So we like NVIDIA and AMD because they're so much more involved in the cloud, in the artificial intelligence. And we think that Qualcomm is a good switch into something like those.
So it's a sell on Qualcomm, QCOM.
And now for the profit taking.
But then again, a buy potentially on NVIDIA, NVDA.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
And last, for Richard in Chula Vista, California, in the limited time we have left, it's Bristol-Myers Squibb, ticker BMY.
And again, the dividend is very high. It's a good quality company, but it's going to have only about 1% growth. We think that if you were going to be in the pharmaceutical industry, you should be with companies that can really grow. And for that, we've favored Novo Nordisk, which now has both the Ozempic and Wegovy, which are the diabetes and weight loss drugs. And we think that market is incredibly large. This company is going to have over 27% revenue growth this year and certainly mid to high teens going forward. We think that you'd be much better off switching into a company that's got a true growth profile.
So it's a sell on BMY, Bristol-Myers Squibb.
Sell. Yes, precisely.
And
yes.
Meanwhile, a buy on Novo Nordisk, ticker symbol NOVO.
Bye.
And speaking of buys and goodbyes, we've come to where we have to say our goodbyes to Tom Plum. But Tom, this was great the first time that my audience didn't hear. I think it was better this time that my audience did. Thank you for your patience and for putting up with me. We'll talk again down the line.
Great. It's always great to talk to you, Chuck.
That's Tom Plum, President and Chief Investment Officer at the Plum Funds. PlumFunds.com for more information. And Money Life will be back to wrap up this week, right after this message.